Broadcasting from the CNN Center in Atlanta, Georgia, I'm Carl Lazus. This is CNN Student News. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. We're kicking things off today with some presidential politics. Specifically, the race for the Republican nomination. Setting to South Carolina now, that state has the next primary on January 21st. Most of the candidates are trying to catch the winner of this week's New Hampshire primary. You can see the full results right here. We reported former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney's victory yesterday, plus second and third place finishes for Representative Ron Paul and former Utah Governor John Huntsman. They were followed by former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, former Senator Rick Santorum, and Texas Governor Rick Perry. Now, everybody's still in the race. Nobody dropped out after New Hampshire, but South Carolina could be a make-or-break event. Paul Steinhauser talks about what it takes to run for the White House.
Running for the White House is unlike any other contest. This is the ultimate prize. It is definitely the major leagues when it comes to campaigning. Everybody thinks the election is in November, but honestly, that election starts often 2 years beforehand. Going to the early voting states, meeting voters, starting to build up a staff. This is a commitment that takes a lot more than just a few weeks. Running for the White House is no cheap proposition. It takes a lot of money. This time around, we will see maybe a $1 billion campaign. Why does it cost so much money to run for the White House? Because it's more than just a state operation. You're running in all 50 states. And it takes a lot of money, not only to build up a staff to reach out to voters, but also the travel, the commercials. We're talking about an immense amount of money. You don't always have to be rich to run for the White House. You can have ideas, and if you start generating buzz, well, then the money follows. Especially nowadays with the internet, it is so much easier now to reach out to anybody to raise money than it was in the old days. To have a successful campaign, you need a pretty large staff, no doubt about it. You have to have people in the early voting states like Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Florida, and Nevada. People who are reaching out to voters, people who are setting up events for the candidate. When it comes to a campaign staff, candidates often like to have young people and old people as well. It's definitely a mixture. Their top strategists are often people who've been around for cycles. But a lot of the younger people out in the states, the volunteers and the fresh faces, those are the people who are knocking on doors and saying hello to voters and trying to spread the message about their candidates. There are a lot of positions in a campaign, but there are a few people that stand out the most. And one of them will be the campaign manager. That's the person who manages a campaign, basically the boss who decides who does what and where the candidate goes and what the candidate says to a degree. The internet's changed a lot when it comes to running for the White House. It used to be, back in the day, a candidate would have a pretty good handle on his message getting out there to the media. But nowadays, anybody can make a video, and that video can go viral. This is the big leagues. It takes a lot of money. It's very grueling. It tears up candidates inside and out, and only the strongest survive.
See if you can ID me. I'm a country that has 11 official languages. I'm located on the southern tip of a continent. I have 3 different capitals, but none of them is my largest city, Johannesburg. I'm South Africa, and I have one of the world's highest unemployment rates for young people.
As you might expect, many South Africans hope to avoid being part of that unemployment statistic by going to college. But there are a lot more students who want to enroll and who are actually qualified than there are spaces for them at the schools. And that equaled a dangerous situation in Johannesburg on Tuesday. One woman died and more than a dozen other people were hurt after a stampede happened on the University of Johannesburg campus. Thousands of people had lined up at the gates to try to get an admission spot. Some slept out overnight. Even after the ambulances left the scene of the stampede, hundreds of people were still lined up, hoping for a chance to enroll. Moving from South Africa to the Middle Eastern nation of Syria, international journalists like our own Nick Robertson have been allowed into Syria for the first time in months. Protesters there have been fighting with Syrian government forces, and these journalists are giving us a rare first-hand look at the tension and the conflict.
The level of anger and passion here is absolutely palpable. We're just a few miles from the center of Damascus, and this is a crowd here of perhaps... Thank you. This is a crowd here of perhaps several thousand people. They've taken over this whole area. They've put rocks in the road to prevent the police coming in here.
it is a rare opportunity to meet the people who want to overthrow Syrian President Bashar al-Assad.
The situation is very bad. We are only want to be like you, like the Western people. We want to be freedom. We want to be free people.
I'm afraid when I'm talking to you right now. Why? Because I'm gonna lift this scarf and go into my home, and I'm not 100% sure that I'm gonna be safe. Because if not today, if not tomorrow, they will arrest me.
Their defiance possible because two orange-jacketed Arab League monitors are here.
If you are here without them, you don't. You will never gonna see any protester.
Even so, protesters told us they didn't trust the Arab League mission.
They're absolutely desperate to show us the level of suffering, and they say they can't go to the hospitals because if they do, the government hospitals, they fear being arrested.
When the monitors leave, so do we. Within minutes, they are stopped.
We're barely half a mile from that anti-government rally, and here there are pro-government supporters now blocking the road, a small group trying to show the monitors that there's support for Bashar al-Assad. This appears to be an impromptu demonstration, but it's surprising because clearly they knew this was the way the monitors were going to come.
And it's not the only pro-government rally in town. At least two others. Here, a huge PA system blasts the president message. Government troops dancing with the crowds.
The most striking difference between this pro-government rally and the opposition rallies that we've seen here, it's a celebration, it's a carnival atmosphere. At the opposition rallies, there is absolute real fear in people's eyes. They're terrified of their situation.
Here, they say they trust the president.
Bashar Assad is a good man, but if you want to see, you can see. That's real here.
For now, Assad remains in control, for the most part. But it's hard to imagine his supporters and opponents can be kept apart much longer. Nick Robertson, CNN, Damascus, Syria.
A tragic anniversary today for the Caribbean island nation of Haiti. It was exactly 2 years ago when a powerful earthquake struck that nation. Haiti is one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. Many people there were struggling before the devastating quake hit. The impact, enormous. More than 300,000 people died. Another 300,000 were injured. 1.5 million Haitians were left homeless. Many of them set up tent cities, like you see in this file video. Experts estimate that one-third of Haiti's total population, a third of an entire country's population, was affected by this quake. Countries, organizations, and individuals jumped into action. The recovery started out with relief efforts, like the emergency workers in this video from 2010. 2 years after the quake, the recovery has transitioned into rebuilding. Relief organizations are working to help the Haitian people. You can be part of this. Go to the spotlight section on our homepage, that's cnnstudentnews.com. Click the Impact Your World link and find out how you can make a difference. Before we go today, some reunions can be heartfelt or overwhelming. This one is for the birds. At least one bird, at least. This is a rare African crowned crane. He got loose from his owner's house in California last weekend. The two were reunited on Tuesday, though it looks like the crane was more worried about its news coverage. Maybe it's hoping they'll make a movie out of the ordeal and he'll get the starring role. It would certainly give him the chance to show off his talents, although more established actors might consider him a featherweight. Sometimes these puns work perfectly for us. Other times, we're just winging it. Woo! For CNN Student News, I'm Carl Azu. See you later.